listening to Trent Radio, 92.7 CFFFFM. You're listening to CFFF, Trent Radio, 92.7 on your FM dial.
Hello. Cool. So, my name is Matt, and I was just wondering who here knows where Trent Radio is and what it is.
715
George Street. Yeah, hands. Yeah, okay. Who knows what Adventure Time is? Anyone heard of that show? Okay, that's good too. So, this song is kind of about both of those things. Trent Radio, come on, grab a fish. We're going to a very not-so-distant building with James the Human and John the Human, Chill the Human and Matt Jarvis the Human. Everyone else, they're also human. Yep, I'm pretty sure everyone in the building's a human. So Trent Radio, come on, grab a fish. We're going to a pretty darn close building with a bunch of humans and Charlie the dog. The fun and the broadcasting never ends.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins. Just to let you know, Chris, Sam, and Marty are all away this weekend having a ridiculously awesome time at a convention in Hamilton. So I have a special guest this week, Nigel Norrad. Say hi, Nigel.
Hello, Nigel.
Okay, that bit will never get old. So before we get into our main topics for this week, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you like about comics, why you got into them, all that stuff.
Well, basically I got into comics to start with when I was, I don't know, we'll say 10 years old or so. First couple comic storylines that I remember is The Reign of Superman, directly after Superman was killed by Doomsday, and The Age of Apocalypse, the first version. So I liked comics basically up until, we'll say, I was about 14, 15. Then I, all of a sudden I got too cool for comic books. I thought so, at least. So I left them for a while. I will say when I was about, actually, I guess it was about 5 years ago, I got really into the Big Bang show, or Big Bang Theory, and noticed that they all were reading comic books and had tons of that sort of stuff. So I decided, or it kind of sparked in me my old love for comic books. So I went out and I bought the House of M graphic novel. And it brought me back into comic books. I loved it from there. I went out and I started looking for basically every X-Men graphic novel from there on out. And then I got to a point where I was actually caught up with the X-Men comics, and I started breaking out and getting individual comics instead of the graphic novels. And then from there, it just turned into a serious addiction.
And that's why we're here, because we're seriously addicted to comic books.
My name is Nigel, and I'm an alcoholic, or I guess a comic-aholic.
A comic-aholic. So are you mostly a DC, Marvel guy, not much of a DC guy?
Well, I've gone back and forth with some of their reboot canon stuff.
Yeah.
I was with Marvel until they did their Marvel Now sort of...
All new Marvel Now or whatever that was?
One was just Marvel Now.
Okay.
And I started reading a little bit of it, and I found that a lot of the... They seemed to be very, very similar.
Yeah.
A lot of the books. So I started getting into more DC stuff. I've read just about everything from the New 52 up until they did their little reboot a couple months back. And I ended up dropping reading a whole bunch of their little reboots, but
yeah.
I stuck with certain ones like Batman and Action Comics and some of the big ones.
Some of the classic ones there?
Yeah. And I've given some of the newer ones a chance, but they just, some of them are terrible.
Well, you can't like them all.
No.
All right, so that's Nigel. And this week on our show, we're going to talk about pursuing key comic books, Booster Gold. There was a big announcement involving Booster Gold and possibly a movie being made about him from Warner Pictures. And we're also going to talk about Star Wars comics and whatever else we need to fill the rest of the hour. So last week, we celebrated Batman Day. Me and Chris and Sam had a wonderful time talking about everything that we loved and everything Sam hated about Batman. So what are your thoughts on Batman since you missed the show last week? Batman, go.
Batman is pretty much the ultimate superhero as far as I'm concerned. You know, he's basically a human being that doesn't have to do too much, that turns himself into, you know, no real superpowers, nothing. Like, he's just trained himself to be the ultimate vigilante.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say that's about it.
That's all you got for Batman?
That's all I got.
I thought you'd have more for Batman. What's your favorite Batman story then?
Actually, it's one of the newer ones, the Court of Owls. The Court of Owls followed by the Night of Owls, that whole run. That's really what brought me back to Batman.
Yeah.
When I started getting back into the DC comics, as I said, the first things that I started reading was the Batman, and was blown away by the Court of Owls. Scott Snyder and
yep.
Greg Capullo working on that are just incredible.
I really enjoyed Court of Owls as well. Thought it was a pretty awesome idea to think that there was this like secret cabal in Gotham under Batman's nose the entire time, and he never knew about it because, you know, he's been portrayed as almost omnipotent and omnipresent by some writers, and yet here he is missing out on this huge thing.
As some people have referred to him as Bat God.
That's
and
right.
How does Bat God miss the secret society right under his nose?
Yeah.
And they came really close to take, although just about everybody comes, you know, close to taking Batman down, never really accomplishing it.
It's not really a good story unless they come close.
Yes.
I mean, oh, there's a bad guy. Batman destroys him. End of story.
But not only did they beat him, they played with his head and a lot of his, what do you call it, his little underlings.
Like, yeah.
They played with Nightwing quite a bit, being he was directly supposed to be the next Court of Owls member.
Yeah.
Bruce Wayne, Batman, saved him out of that. Just thought it was really, really interesting. And then all the Talons and stuff came with those. They were, for a new villain, they were pretty pretty cool, because we hadn't had a new Batman villain that actually was, you know, sticking around to create more story in a long time. There was a whole lot of minor characters, you know, people that would pop in and then they're gone. The Talons and the Court of Owls are one of the few things that I've seen recently that came in and they stuck around.
Yeah.
I'd like to see more of that with the new villain that they've got in. I can't remember. Mr. Bloom?
Mr. Bloom.
Yeah.
Introduced in Batman 43.
Yeah.
What, almost 2 months ago now, I think. Month and a half.
Him giving these other superheroes, or these other villains, I should say, these crazy powers, and you don't know what it's going to be, it's going to open an interesting dynamic for the new Batman.
Spoilers, I haven't read my copy yet, even though it's been in my comic book box for the last month and a half.
You can't get mad at me for making that spoiler. It's been out for a while.
Well, I managed to avoid it until now, so thanks a lot, Nigel.
Okay, so I just spoiled it for you and anybody else
and
list,
a couple other people.
Yeah, well.
All right, well, so before we get into ruining some more people's lives by spoiling their stuff, we'll segue from Batman by listening to the original Batman theme song. We kind of ended our show last week on it. Here it is again. Batman. know that was Batman. That was the original Batman theme from the Batman show with Adam West, you know, the amazing classic show that everybody knows and loves, at least from, you know, maybe when they were a kid or something. So, yeah, the Batman theme. Yeah. So now I had this thing happen to me this week where it's going to be a significant anniversary coming up in my life. And I said to my wife, I was like, here's something very expensive that I'm buying for you. And she really wanted this thing. And so I'm giving it to her. And then I said, but, you know, in return, I would like to buy something very expensive for myself because I can't trust you to buy me a really cool comic book. I'm going to buy my own. And so she has graciously said I can spend about, you know, a fraction of the amount of money that she gets spent on her on my comic book. And so I am currently trying to find a key comic book that I should buy for my collection. Now, I've thrown this out to some Facebook groups on in Peterborough and some other places trying to get some suggestions. And I thought, why don't we try and see what kind of key comic book we can come up with here. The pros and cons of some of the keys that might be affordable. And, you know, when I say keys, I'm not a Rockefeller here. I don't have a lot of money. You know, I'm looking to spend maybe $300 to $400 on a comic book, and maybe more if I don't tell the truth to my wife about how much I actually spend, which I've already told her I am not going to do. By which I mean, I told her I'm going to lie to her about it and get something more expensive than she said I can. Because, I mean, yeah. I have to.
Yeah.
So why don't we start with, like, what kind of key comic books do you have? What do you think is your coolest comic book that you've got?
All right. Well, the coolest comic book that I have to say I got was also a Christmas present. Well, it was a Christmas present from my fiancé. So, you know, you might be safe letting her get, because my girlfriend at the time went out of her way, and I was a huge Deadpool fan. This was before all the hype had come out.
Yeah.
And she went and she bought me New Mutants 98 in a 9.4 CGC and gave that to me for Christmas, our first year together, and that blew me away. I've got some pretty crazy key comics past that, but I'd say that one... That takes the case, especially because it was unexpected.
Yeah. Well, that's a pretty awesome present. I would imagine it was slightly cheaper back then than it is now.
Yeah, it was actually about half the price that it's going for right now. I know what she ended up spending on it.
Yeah.
And it was... We've been very impressed with the...
the appreciation of that comic book.
The rise in value. It's been quite impressive.
Now, on the topic of Deadpool, not to, you know, completely derail my key comic book discussion, but do you think that is one of the key comic books of the modern era, that it will retain its value and it will always stay an expensive comic book?
I don't know for sure. It really depends on what Marvel decides to do with the character in the future. I know I was reading something today about Marvel is not letting anybody write any of their authors to write any new mutant characters.
Yeah.
Now, Deadpool's not technically a mutant, but he's got the mutant powers from Wolverine, basically.
Yeah.
They stuck his regenerative powers into him. The Terrigen Mist that has just been released by the Inhumans is going to actually kill off mutants. They're doing this because Fox owns the rights to X-Men.
Conspiracy alert.
Yes,
conspiracy
well,
alert.
This is what I've been told, but have been reading.
Yes, so the conspiracy is that Fox, because the Wolverine and the X-Men movies are so popular that Marvel is trying to ruin the continuity for those characters in the comics to make the comics less valuable, so the properties become less valuable, and therefore Fox might eventually sell them back to them.
Well, here, the actual thing is that they're hoping is that it won't become profitable for them.
Yes.
And so they won't continue to make the line. If they don't continue to make the line, they have a certain amount of years to do so, or they lose the rights.
Do you remember Amazing Spider-Man number 2? that was only made so that Sony wouldn't lose the rights to Spider-Man.
And exactly. And then they ended up having to sell it back to the Marvel Universe anyways.
Yeah, which is better for the Marvel Cinematic Universe anyways, having all those characters to draw from, right?
Like, exactly.
Why not have Spider-Man with Captain America? Why not have the X-Men and the Avengers together? Like, wouldn't it be epic if they made, like, the X-Men versus the Avengers storyline into a movie?
Exactly.
That'd be cool.
They're starting to do that with America or Captain America Civil War.
Yeah.
Now that Sony has Spider-Man, they're bringing Spider-Man into the Avengers mix with Captain America Civil War. I'm not sure whose side he's on. I just think he's going to be there.
Well, it depends on how closely it will follow the original comic books.
I actually heard that it's not going to follow the comic books at all.
No?
It's conspiracy up there.
we need to get some sort of like bumper to play. Conspiracy.
Yeah. Well, I read a lot of the stuff online.
Yeah.
The news and stuff like that. And that was, you know, one of the things that's being said is that he is in that movie.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that he's going to be in the Captain America Civil War movie. But
much younger, actually, than he's been portrayed in any of the other movies.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be like 14 years old or something, the way that Spider-Man originally was.
Yeah, which a lot of the people I know think is kind of cool to have this basically really young teenager standing shoulder to shoulder with Captain America, or shoulder to waist, more like it, you know, to show like he is just a kid who's doing this.
Another thing that I really like about it is, with them starting off so young, and everybody knows the Spider-Man story anyways. I've heard that they're not going to be including an origin story for Spider-Man, at least not the way that it's always been done, where, you know, you start the movie, he's Peter Parker, he gets bit, and then so on. There might be flashback, but I've heard we're not going to get the origin
not
story.
Not like a linear, here's a normal kid, he gets bit by a spider, something crazy happens.
Not the way that's been that's told cool. over and over and over and over again. We get it. We've seen enough Spider-Man reboots at this point to know how Spider-Man got his start. My kid is 5 years old. He knows how Spider-Man got his start, you know?
It's a pretty easy start. He gets bit by a spider.
Yeah.
It's not hard. But that reminds me, I had this idea, and if Sony, if you're listening, feel free to use this. And this was an idea I had to marry up all the Spider-Man movies we have. So if you have this new Spider-Man as a young kid, and then you've got, you know, of course, Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield, who have both played Spider-Man, well, why not do a sort of take on the Spider-Verse comic books that were out and very popular about a year ago, or maybe a little longer ago, where Spider-Men from all over the different multiverses or whatever are coming together. And then you could actually have those actors have a cameo or something in this movie to be like, no, look, they actually do exist as Spider-Man. They weren't just forgotten. It's just a different reality than the one that we're currently showing.
That's interesting. Well, and that could bring some serious market value up on some of that. Spider-Verse, Spider-Gwen, the first appearance.
Spider-Gwen, yes.
If they make a Spider-Verse type movie, you've got to have... can't remember the actress's name. It's going to haunt me for the rest of the night. But you got to have that Emma Stone. Yes, I think that was Emma something.
Confession time. I haven't watched either of the new Spider-Man movies.
You're not missing a whole lot.
That's kind of what I heard. And I plan to watch them eventually, but I'm just not in a rush.
Yeah.
I do know what happens in them. But yeah, like I'm a bit of a Spider-Gwen fan. I like the concept. The Spider-Gwen series that was out a few months ago was okay. It wasn't spectacular, but now let's bring it together back to Deadpool. What do you think about Gwenpool, the Spider-Gwen and Deadpool mashup?
I think it is going to be one of those things that it gets a lot of hype right at the beginning, and then
already has been.
Yes, and then once it's out, it's going to disappear, and you will probably never hear of her again.
Yeah.
I find it hard that they're going to have, if they were going to have, you know, Spider-Gwen and then Gwenpool, and I think there's going to be a regular Gwen Stacy in this new, all new, it's too many of the same character.
Yeah. Well, when something's hot, they have to beat it to death.
Yeah.
Which is also sort of what's happened to Deadpool, right? Like, he's in every comic book.
Yeah, he's, you know, as much as I love Deadpool, he got oversaturated. And I'm almost worried that the movie is going to continue with the oversaturation. As much as I'd love it to continue to bring up the value of the books and, you know, expose Deadpool, he's so oversaturated.
I don't know if there's anybody in North America who hasn't been exposed to Deadpool in some sort of manner by this point.
Yeah, I'm actually quite surprised. When I first started getting into him, we'll say 4 or 5 years ago, it was very rare to find anybody who knew who Deadpool was. Now I don't have to explain myself anymore. You know, what's that logo on your shirt or whatnot? Yeah. Instead, it's people, oh, cool Deadpool t-shirt.
Well, you know you've got it made as a character when your uniform is made into a hoodie that gets sold at chain retail stores.
I've seen that they also have a bathrobe version.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, they do. Now, I don't know how many of those they sell, but, you know, nothing says Monday morning like getting out of the shower and putting on your Deadpool bathrobe and then getting ready for work, I guess. I don't know.
Christmas is coming up, honey.
Wink, wink. So now I know what Nigel wants for Christmas. So, back to the key comic books after that long and meandering, I don't know, meandering thing.
Yep.
I'm very eloquent with my words here. So, because you were super impressed that your girlfriend at the time got you this amazing comic book, which back then wasn't really even a key comic book,
mm-hmm.
but now has become this super huge comic book that people like pay, you know, like a 9.4. That's, you know, you're going up to probably $400, $500, $600, depending, maybe even higher if it's an auction that gets lucky.
Last I looked, it was about $550.
Yeah. And so that's, you know, that's a pretty decent price for a comic book. And my price range is a little lower than that, that I've been told. And but the funny thing is that my wife keeps saying, like, I'd be like, oh, what about, I'm thinking about buying this comic book. And she would go, why would you want that comic book? Why don't you buy something that you really want? And I would say, because I can't afford it still.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm a big Daredevil fan, really got into Daredevil, probably like everybody else with the Netflix show. You know, I watched that and was just blown away by it and went out and I've probably bought about 200 Daredevil comics in the last 6 months. And she goes, why don't you buy like Daredevil number one, the first appearance of Daredevil? And I said, I would absolutely love to. But right now on eBay, you know, for $400, somebody is selling one that looks like their dog puked it up. And I'm not even joking about the condition. It's just the ugliest comic book you've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I can justify spending $400 on something I'm embarrassed to show people.
I can understand that. Was it a slabbed book?
It was not.
Oh,
no, geez. It wasn't. Because, the slabbing is where the CGC, the... Certified grading company. They grade them. It's a third party that grades comic books for people so that they don't get ripped off by people selling comic books that aren't as good in as good condition as they say they are. And it usually increases the value of a comic book significantly.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of mentioned to her that maybe, even though I'm a huge fan of slabbed comics, whether the Peterborough people agree or not, I'm looking at you, Tony, whether they agree or not, I'm a huge fan of this because I just like it as a collectible. You know, these are collectibles, not comics to read.
I would agree with that. I've got, I think I've got four currently, and some of them, I've heard of Tony talking about cracking open, and Martin as well, talking about cracking open slabs, and it does make me cringe a little bit.
And just so you know, live next week, Martin is going to crack open a slab. He's made it his mission statement that he said the next time that me and him were in a room together, he's cracking open this slab he got. And so we're going to see how that plays out over the radio next week.
You might need some tissue paper.
for my crying.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe. But who knows?
I guess it depends on the comic. If it's, you know, kind of a throwaway comic book, that's crack that open. Well, if it's a key, oh God, that makes me cringe.
And again, it goes to what is your definition of a key comic book, because it's the Iron Fist 16, I believe. Oh. I could be wrong in the number, but the first Sabretooth. But it's in a low grade, so that's why he's going to crack it open.
Minor
read
key,
it.
I would consider cracking it. You know, Sabretooth is good for the Wolverine fans, but it's not like he's cracking open.
He's not Wolverine.
He's not cracking a Hulk 180 or 181, and that's where the real tears are.
And speaking of Hulk 180 or 181, you know, that's the kind of key comic book that would be cool to have. But again, you know, a 181, which is the first, depending on who you're talking to, is the first appearance of Wolverine, because he actually appears at the end of Hulk 180, but he's credited as his first full appearance in 181, and Martin will probably start that argument soon. Because he's a big fan of the 180 being the real first appearance.
I would agree with that.
But the masses have said, no, we like 181, which is also his first cover appearance, which is something significant.
Well, the thing is it's not really the masses, because there's plenty of people that will argue this.
A mass?
Yeah. there's plenty of people that will argue either side, but it's actually Overstreet. The Overstreet Guide has put in... 181. That's a mistake as far as a lot of people are concerned.
Yeah.
But because it says 181 in there, it sticks. There's plenty of other spots that come out, including Marvel handbooks, that will say 180.
And I was looking at Amazing Spider-Man 300 is credited as the first appearance of Venom, but the other day I found my old trading cards from the early 90s, and on the back it says Amazing Spider-Man number 298 is the first appearance of Venom, you know, because that's the first time I think Eddie Brock, the character that becomes Venom, was introduced.
I believe so as well. But I don't think the Venom, the actual Venom, makes an appearance till 300.
Which, and again, he's on the cover of that one, right?
Well,
is that just the black suited Spider-Man?
I'm not Spider-Man in a messed up little pose that doesn't look
in the iconic amazing pose that has been copied to death over the past,
especially in the past year. The variants of the 300 just got ridiculous.
Well, I know there was one comic book, or one comic book store down in the States that was putting out a homage variant.
The Phantom variant.
Yes, that's right. And every new comic that came out that they had a variant of, that was the pose that they did, so much so that people were getting mad at them.
Mm-hmm.
But
I've now heard that Marvel is not going to let any more artists do the 300 homage cover because there was so much.
That's what oversaturation does.
Yes.
That's what you're afraid will happen to Deadpool.
Exactly.
But, so yeah, like Hulk 181, you know, that would be a cool comic to get, but you'd have to get it in a pretty poor condition to get one for $300 to $400. You know, you're probably looking two steps up of a dog chewed it and spit it out. You know, so the dog nibbled around the edges for $300, which, you know, it just doesn't seem like a good use of your money. And I know people are probably screaming right now that spending any money on a comic book like that isn't a good use of my money. And I'm sure that that my wife is screaming that as well, but she promised, so it doesn't matter.
I
can't take it back.
I'm very lucky on that. My fiance, she understands my collecting comic book addiction and doesn't really blink twice when she knows comic books a bit now from us being together. When she knows that there's a key comic book and I'm sort of drooling over it on a Facebook post or something, she's pretty lenient on, you know, just here's a little extra money, make that and hold on to it.
Yeah.
So I got lucky there.
Well, that's pretty awesome. You know, my wife is, I convinced her that comic books are a good investment in the future. And I don't mean that investment like stocks or bonds, because obviously, you know, putting money into bonds or something would be more of a good investment. But, you know, I used to just buy all the comic, all the stories in the trade paperbacks, mm-hmm. which have no value,
exactly.
you know, but a comic book, like I can read the first appearance of Venom in a comic, in a trade paperback I buy for $6. But if I want to buy that comic book, it's worth hundreds of dollars.
Yeah.
And will probably only keep going up, you know. You can, you can't guarantee it, though.
Yeah.
But it's unlikely that it's ever going to go down to nothing again.
Yeah.
You know? So instead of spending all of my money buying these collections, you know, now I'm trying to buy the actual comic books, have something real and tangible that's one of a kind, mm-hmm. you know? So that's how I convinced her that comic books were a good idea. Several months ago and many, many hundreds of dollars ago.
Yes, well, I had to do the same thing. I convinced her that it was a good investment in the long run. It's better than stocks and bonds. You can't enjoy those. You can take a comic book out, you can read it.
But your kids can't wreck stocks and bonds, can they?
That's true. That's it. There is things to get away with that, you know. There's the, I can't remember what they're called. They're hard plastic sleeves, though, that
yeah.
work just the same as a CGC case, basically. Top loader, that's what they're called.
Yeah.
And they'll save your comics from your kids. The other thing I do, I stick mine on my wall. Got a little setup there to hang mine on my wall, some of my favorites, and they don't touch the ones on the wall. Luckily.
Yeah. Yeah, and Nigel and I were actually talking before we started up today, because we both got young kids, youngish kids,
yeah.
and, you know, our kids are interested in comic books, and I spent $50 on a Scooby-Doo number one from Marvel, and my daughter is obsessed with Scooby-Doo, and I got her into comics by buying some Scooby-Doo comics from one of the local stores. And I've been picking up all the old Scooby-Doo comics I can find. But this was the most that I've spent on any comic for her. However, it stays in my collection.
Yes.
And, you know, I look at it all the time. And she gets the ones that we pay $1 or $2 for. And she can, you know what, if the covers come off of those ones, it may cause me to cry a little bit. But those are her comics. And I'm not going to judge or be mean or be like, oh, no, you ruined it. But $50 is a lot of money to pay for a comic that might just have the cover ripped off.
Yes.
So that one stays in my collection until she's old enough to appreciate it. And probably by then she won't even care and it'll just become my comic book.
Yes.
Not that that was my plan all along, because it wasn't.
I've bought a few sort of with that thought in mind, as, you know, if he grows up, my son grows up, and he decides that he's not really into comics, I haven't wasted my money, because those comics can go into my collection and I can enjoy them just as much.
Although I see on Facebook groups a lot of the time, you know, like I'm a member of some bigger groups that have literally thousands or hundreds of thousands of members, and people will post, oh, my dad just handed me a box of my comic books from when I was a kid, and they show pictures of all these like cool comic books that are actually worth a lot of money now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was a kid, the comic books I collected are the ones that are still selling for a dollar, you know?
Well, see, I lucked out. Some of my first comic books were, like I said, the Age of Apocalypse run.
Yeah.
Which is, Age of Apocalypse is still pretty big. They just did a, I think it was 4 or 5 issue arc as part of Secret Wars.
Yeah.
And they've done a few things after that. And the other one was The Reign of Superman, The Death of Superman and
yep.
His Rebirth. So we're looking at, you know, anywhere from $20 to $50, depending on where you get it, for some of the my first books.
Have you seen the Doomsday animated movie?
I have.
But the Reign of that is the story that you're talking about made into an animated movie. There's a special feature on that movie. I am completely wrong here where I saw this, but it was actually on a PBS documentary I saw where about the comic books from that era, and there was people lining up to buy the Death of Superman issue, and like they were buying them and holding them up to the camera and saying, this is my kid's college fund, because they thought that this comic book where Superman dies was going to be worth hundreds or thousands of dollars in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, when you buy comic books, if you buy a box of comic books at a yard sale, I bet you most of them are those Death of Superman issues.
Yes.
You know, there's only a few of the issues that might actually be worth something in that run, and a lot of them are pretty much like nickel and dime comic books.
Yeah.
And these people were buying them thinking that they had some sort of humongous, amazing thing. Yeah. And then they brought Superman back like 6 months later. Like how could you think they were going to keep Superman dead?
And not only did they bring him back, but when they brought him back, they brought the reign of Superman. So there was like six Supermen that came at that time. There was Steel, or a guy made totally of metal. There was Superboy. There was Superman wearing a black and silver one where he had the mullet hair.
Yep.
And then there was the actual Superman. And I can't...
Now, was there Cyborg Superman? Was he a part of that, or was that a different...
I think that... I do believe that is part of the reign. I believe...
I gotta say, Cyborg Superman became one of my favorite Green Lantern villains.
Yeah.
During the Geoff Johns Green Lantern run.
Yes. He had an incredible Green Lantern run.
Yeah.
I was sad to see him give that up.
Yeah. And also sad is how little focus we have. Because we're not even talking about my key comic books. So, I'm gonna... Here's the kind of key comic books that I was thinking of. You know, like I would love Daredevil number one if I could find one that didn't look ridiculously awful. Ridiculously awful for the amount of money I have to spend.
Mm-hmm.
Another great key comic book, but that has exploded in price recently thanks to TV, is ASM Amazing Spider-Man 129, which is the first appearance of The Punisher.
That's one that I've always wanted as well. And it really didn't explode that much. Like, I was watching it beforehand on what it was worth, and I'm watching it after, and it only took a little bit of a rise, but it was already such
expensive a key. Yeah.
piece anyways that it put it out of...
A mere mortal's reach?
Yeah. Well, yeah. The only thing that I've done or thought about is I've thought about... Only way I'd ever get it, I think, is consider trading my PGX, which is another form of slabbed comic book, Giant Size X-Men number one.
Yeah.
I've thought about possibly trading that for a Amazing Spider-Man 129, but then with, you know, them killing off all the mutants and stuff that I'm hearing about...
You don't know if that comic might actually become more valuable.
Yes, I'm worried that I'll trade it away and then I'll have some foom up that one goes.
So what you're saying is I should spend my money on that one. I should buy your copy of Giant Size X-Men number one, which is the first, is that a Copper Age comic book? I think it kind of is. It's from the 70s.
Oh, it depends.
Bronze.
I think some people will say 75 is the cutoff. Some people will say a little earlier than that. If you consider Silver Age up to 75, it's still in the Silver Age books.
Yeah. I don't know. To me, Silver Age sounds the 60s for the Silver Age.
I agree. That's the sound
70s
that
for copper, 80s for bronze, 90s for garbage. The garbage age.
Except there is the odd, at like the Deadpool New Mutants 98.
Yes.
That's 1991. You know, there is the odd gem in the sand sort of thing.
There is. And we're seeing a real sort of appreciation for those comic books that everybody thought was just garbage. You know, even up to 5 years ago, people were treating most of the comics from the early 90s like they were worthless and they were all sold in dollar bins. And now it seems like every day somebody online is being like, hey, this comic's actually worth something now. And people are digging out their old box full of comics and like, yeah, I've got 7 copies that I paid a dollar for.
Yeah. Well, that's that's definitely happening. But a lot of that is, I would think it's because a lot of the kids that grew up on the 90s comic books and things like that are now getting old enough where they're the ones making the movies and they're the ones making the TV shows.
True.
So the stories that they grew up with are now the stories that they're making the movies from.
Because those were the stories when we were children, you know, to first getting into comics. And now we're of the age that we could be, if we had any ambition, we could actually be doing something like making movies.
Exactly.
We don't, of course, but
That's why we're here.
Getting out of bed is ambition enough, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can totally see that that would be something that would be happening. And that's why it's just sort of full circle, you know, like you love the shows that you saw when you were a kid.
Exactly.
You love the comics you saw when you were a kid. And then when you get to be of a certain age, they always bring those things back, you know. And that is like, you know, one of the other weird key comics that I'm thinking of is the first appearance of He-Man in a comic book.
Nice.
It actually has He-Man fighting Superman on the cover.
Oh,
because,
I know which one you're talking
about. Yeah, Skeletor has taken over Superman and is trying to make him destroy He-Man. And I don't remember the actual comic issue that it is, but
it's like DC Universe versus Masters of the Universe or something.
Actually, I think it's DC Presents something or other. I don't remember what the actual issue was, but you know, I was like, I'm kind of embarrassed if that's what I choose to spend $300 on, like a He-Man comic book.
Well, He-Man was big when we were growing up as children.
Yeah,
and you go with what you love. Who cares if people say that's silly? If you're really into, you know, He-Man, get the He-Man comic. If you're into Daredevil, get a good Daredevil. Maybe it's not number one, but you might find a number four.
Yeah, well, I actually already have a number six.
Yeah.
Slabbed, which in a 6.0, which is a decent grade for a comic book that old.
Mm-hmm.
And that only cost me $100.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, I thought was a pretty good steal.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, He-Man has the worst disguise in history. Superman takes, at least has his glasses come off, but He-Man's clothes just changed and his hair stays the exact same and his face stays the exact same.
That's true.
I'm very disappointed that those guys never figured it out. So we're running out of time on our discussion if we're going to get to everything else we talked about. So I'm just going to say the other ones I was thinking of was maybe Detective Comics 359, which is the first appearance of Batgirl, who, if you listened last week, I kind of have a bit of a crush on, Barbara Gordon. And I really, you know, just I've been in love with this comic.
Is that from the
66
show?
I actually know that's not why, because I've never really watched most of the whole show.
Okay.
It's just I saw this cover and it just hit me and I was like, man, I love that cover.
Yeah.
And another one I was thinking of is All-Star Western 10, which is the first appearance of Jonah Hex, who's a sort of, I feel, underrated character, just a great Western character.
Yeah, I like Jonah Hex. I have the first appearance of John Constantine, to put it in sort of perspective,
yeah,
as an underrated character. Again, it was a character that I really enjoyed, so screw what anybody else thinks. I've got the first appearance of John Constantine.
Yeah. So, I'll the other thing is trying to find any of these comic books. It's easy to say this is what I'm looking for, but it's hard to find them in the price range you're looking for at any given time. I've actually been watching eBay for a week now, waiting to see if something comes across there that I'm like, yes, that's the one. And it hasn't happened yet, so we'll see if that ever happens. Now, if you're ready for this, we're going to move on to talking about Star Wars comics. Now, I would say I'm a Star Wars movie fan, but I've never really gotten into the comics. So what's so cool about the Star Wars comics, Nigel?
Well, currently there is, I think there's three ongoings right now, being Darth Vader, the Star Wars series, and Kanan, who is a character from the new Star Wars Rebel cartoon show on Disney XD, I believe.
Yeah, sounds right.
So for the Darth Vader and Star Wars comics, they've been taking place directly after the New Hope. So there's, I don't know, 5 years. There's a few years in between A New Hope, which is episode 4, the original one with Luke and everybody else.
The good one.
Yeah, exactly. The real number one, as I like to call it.
Yeah.
So it takes place directly between Episode 4, A New Hope, and The Empire Strikes Back, and it fills in a lot of the details on how Darth Vader found out that, what's his name, Luke was his son, and for, well, I guess originally he finds out it's just Luke. It ties in how he meets Boba Fett and gets set up with Boba Fett.
Now let's spend a few minutes talking about Boba Fett. Now, you're a Boba Fett fan, right?
Yeah.
What is it about Boba Fett that is so amazing and cool?
You know, I think it's the he's a merc. He gets his hands dirty in ways that even Darth Vader doesn't do. He's willing to go after just about anybody. As long as the right money's in it. He's very similar in that way, I guess, to Deadpool, who I fell in love
with. I was going to say, he's the original Deadpool.
Yeah, a little bit.
George Lucas, you can sue.
Pretty much unkillable. His armor is Mandalorian armor, which a lightsaber cannot cut. So even the strongest weapons in Star Wars universe can't break through his helmet or his chest plates or his wrist guards. So when you can't beat him like that, how do you beat him? When the strongest weapon in the universe is useless.
Yeah. Because he's not in the movies a whole lot, though, is he?
I think he's about 20 minutes, maybe, combined, maybe
like
even.
So there's this huge like cult of fans based on this pretty insignificant amount of footage, considering how much like the whole trilogy of the original movies.
I seen a great meme the other day that was something about I'm not always in the Star Wars movies, but when I am, I'm in for less than 20 minutes and sell more action figures than anybody.
And I actually saw that same meme and probably shared it on my Facebook.
Yeah.
So Boba Fett, you have his first appearance in comic books.
I do. It is Star Wars, the original Star Wars series from Marvel. I believe it's Star Wars number 42. I have that and have it up on my wall. I also have, with the new Star Wars Marvel series, they released two limited edition Boba Fett variant covers.
Yep.
The variant covers look exactly like the old 70s action figures. So you look at the front of it and it looks like I've got an action figure, but it's a comic book. They were very limited, only available on the artist's website. The first round of the colored versions sold, I think it was 48 hours, they sold out 5,000.
Yep.
Then the black and white variant sold out within half hour, 3,000 copies.
Yeah, and I mean, that's pretty limited.
Yeah, that's very limited for a comic run. Especially for a variant comic, too, like, You see a lot of what I'll call store variants.
Yeah.
And there's just stacks of those things. And there was also a limit on the amount that you were allowed to purchase, so there wasn't as much scalping and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which is the online seller's nightmare.
Yeah.
The online buyer's nightmare, I should say.
Yeah, because it can charge $1 million.
Yeah. And then to get it here, the shipping prices from the U.S. just... They're pretty
they
sad.
Sucked.
Yeah. Especially if you want to get a CGC version of anything up here, you're paying $50 just to ship it. Terrible.
Yeah, I know. I actually bought the original variant that you're talking about and decided to pass on the black and white one just because, no other reason, just because I'm not a huge Boba Fett fan. Or I wasn't, although I'm starting to come around a little bit, and which, you know, is I'm embarrassed. Like, oh yeah, I'm a Boba Fett fan. Looks away, kind of like, no, it's no big deal. Don't talk about it.
Yeah.
But bought that first one, and I think it's pretty cool. And then had an invite because I got the first one direct from the seller to buy a second one, and I debated whether or not I should, decided that it wasn't worth it for me, and then watched them sell super quick and then immediately skyrocket in price.
Yes.
And then went, oh, I should have bought at least one.
I was lucky, and I thought about it, and again had the very, very respectful girlfriend fiance let me spend in my money on comic books, but I ended up buying four. And I wish I had done what Marty had done, because when he ordered his, he immediately put it on the internet, and he flipped his extra ones for $100.
Yeah.
I sat on mine, because I figured, you know, if I sit on them, wait till they come out, maybe they'll go up a little more. Well, they dropped about half price.
Mm.
But then I had a whole bunch of extras, basically.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, because they weren't able to get them originally, they sold out so quick, there was a lot of trade value in it.
Yeah.
And that's what I was able to do with my extras, just trade them for other comics that I wanted.
Which is still a win for you.
Oh, definitely.
Now,
I don't feel like I lost any money in it, and that's not always the case when you're investing in comic books.
Yes, it really is like investing in stocks. You know, sometimes you win, but a lot of times you just break even, or a few times you lose more than you would like to admit.
Yeah.
And that's why we're not talking about that.
Every comic book buyer has, or investor, I'll say, has at least one of those stories.
Yeah, well, where they bought something expecting it to go up in price, but instead it went down.
Spider-Gwen number one, I think we both made that mistake.
If anybody needs a copy of Spider-Gwen number one, I might have 10 copies.
I have about 5.
So, but if history has taught us anything, it's in 30 years, that thing is going to be worth $50 or $60.
Exactly.
So just hold on to it for 30 years. So Star Wars number one of the original Marvel series, would you say that's like a key comic book that you're trying to get for your collection?
I would. And the sad thing was, is I really wasn't looking for it until all the new Star Wars hype started.
And that's the problem.
And of course, that's when the price skyrocketed as well. Yes, I would like to have one because I'm a Star Wars fan. I wasn't that big of a fan of the original Star Wars comics from Marvel.
Yeah.
Personally, I think that they look kind of strange, and that Darth Vader is quite a bit off, and you know, so some of the characters don't look the way that I envision.
Yeah.
Them just looking, but you know, to get the first appearance of Boba Fett, that was something that I was willing to put the money into.
Now, the first appearance of Boba Fett, you know, every time I see the cover for Star Wars 42, I think Boba Fett kind of reminds me of Goofy from Disney. Have you ever, can you see that in your mind when I say that? Like, he's got like sort of things hanging down from his helmet or something that look kind of like Goofy ears.
You know, now that I think about that,
I've just destroyed that for you, haven't I?
Well, no, but I see the way that they've shaped the helmet. I can definitely see the ears drooping that you're talking about. Jeez, I hope I don't go home and look at that and see
and be like, "Gorsh!"
Yes,
it's just Goofy.
Well, they're both owned by Disney now.
Yeah.
As far as we know.
I've just come up with the next spinoff they're going to do. What? Goofy is going to be Boba Fett in the 8th Star Wars movie.
They've never taken off his helmet. Maybe Boba Fett has always been Goofy.
Yep. I mean, wouldn't that be a shock?
Mind blown.
Yep, mind blown. So, you know, one of the key comic books that some people were saying I might be interested in getting was the Star Wars number one. And that is a pretty cool one. You know, it certainly has become, I think I suffer from the same problem that you might have there, is that the only time that I really get excited about something is when somebody else is excited. And by then, it's already way too late.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to be on it and get your comics, your key comics, way before anybody else even knows they're cool.
What we should have done is when we first heard that Force Awakens was going to come out, buy the key then. Don't wait until the hype has come up. When you hear that something is going to happen,
buy it. But that's usually when it's already too late.
Well, see, I had the luck where I bought, or I guess I had on Facebook, saved a favorite for one of the news things, and found out when Killer Croc was, like, within the first 3 minutes of the announcement that Killer Croc was going to be in the Suicide Squad movie. I went online and I bought one immediately. Cost me $65.
Yeah.
A month later, I was able to, because I heard about it so much, I got it on the deal right away. A month later, I was able to flip it for close to $200.
Sweet.
I'm not a big fan of Killer Croc. I changed it and flipped it for a old Spider-Man book that I've is much nicer on my wall than this Killer Croc ever.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Spider-Man, that's about all the time we've got for this episode of Hey Kids Comics. Next week, Marty and Chris and Sam and I may be in the studio together for the first time, so we'll see how that works. But we're going to go out here with the Spider-Man theme from the animated show.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man, does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man. Is he strong? Listen, bud. He's got radioactive blood. Can he swing from a thread? Take a look overhead. Hey there, there goes the Spider-Man. In the chill of night, at the scene of crime, like a streak of light, he arrives just in time. Spider-Man, Spider-Man, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Wealth and fame, he's a god. Action is his reward to him. Life is a great big bang. Wherever there's a hang-up, you'll find the Spider-Man.